Good morning, everyone. Today we are going to share our experience of using Airbus AMI model in a CAM methodologies. This is the agenda. First, I want to talk about the motivation. I think this is more important than the result, because once you realize why we want to do this, CAM is just one possible way. And I'm going to talk about the background. There are a lot of information about CAM, either in the design CAM or presentation. So I'll just talk about from the perspective of an AMI model builder. Then I'm going to talk about how we use AMI model in the CAM flow, the result, and some summary. Then we have Q&A. This, I have about 20 slides, should not be more than 30 minutes. I want to talk about the perspective of this slide for model builder or model provider. It can be like a model builder like us or some IC designer who was tasked to create the Airbus AMI model in an IC company. So the motivation, when we create an Airbus AMI model, the outcome of the model is the DLL file and the AMI file, or the .so file. This DLL file and .so file stand for Dynamic Link Library or Shared Object in Linux. These model, these files are not executable. To run this model, you need a driver. When AMI just started, CISO provided a driver to test the AMI model. Commercial tool like Synopsys, HSpice, they have AMI check to load the AMI model. We also provide some utility to load the AMI model. This utility is good to test drive the model to see the rising response, falling response, or just a bit response. Because not until last year, the Airbus check only check the AMI syntax. So last year, there was the update about the golden checker. It will load the Airbus file and also detect the OS of the AMI library, but it will not run the AMI model. So if your AMI model say there is a license and it expired, golden checker will not drive. So it will not detect that this model cannot be run. But this driver, this kind of simple driver will do that. However, to develop more advanced model, this kind of utility is usually not enough, because I mentioned usually they only do the rising transition, falling transition, or the bit response. Once you develop a model, you want to put it into the full-blown link simulator, right? It will load both driver and receiver and run analysis. If you are the developer inside an EDA company, say Mentor, Cadence, you have access to the link simulator code. Then you can make a debug build. You can set a breakpoint. So you can set a breakpoint to step through both from the simulator perspective and the model perspective. So you have full access. Most of us probably do not have access to this kind of simulator code. So in typical IDE integrated development environment, as a model builder, what you can do is you can attach to a process. The process needs to be there. That process will load the DLL file or the shared object file. So as soon as that process loads the model, it will hit the breakpoint you set in the AMI model. That is the ideal situation. In these days, when we use the link simulator from commercial tool, mostly we interact with the GUI. We set this AMI parameter. Everything is ready, then we hit simulate. Then that GUI will spawn or fork a process. That process will load your AMI model. So the GUI process itself does not load the AMI model. So this presents a challenge. Not until recently, last year, the Visual Studio has the capability to attach automatically this kind of spawn process. On Linux, it's still not likely based on our study. So as a model developer, when you want to get a full picture of how the link simulator interact with this AMI model, it's very challenging. Not to mention, when you go to the back channel, you need to put the TS and RS together back to back, see how the message is passing from each other. You really need to have some kind of this capability. Since to access the simulator like big companies engineer is usually out of question, So what we can do probably go through the open source direction. Here are these two examples. One is Piper, the other is Calm, which is the topic of this paper. These are two possible solutions in this situation. These two are more or less the full-blown Lean simulator. We studied this open source solution. We found that most of them already have the building block of the simulator layer. They all have generic EQ solution on both TX and RX side. It's not design specific, but because these are open source, so we are able to access the code and make the modification so that it will link the AMI model on the development. So that is the motivation. And I mentioned about Piper. Both of these codes are available online. Piper already have the AMI hook built in. So if you can make the Piper run, it already loads the AMI model. That's why this paper focuses on Calm. Now, the Calm is a ratified IEEE 803 spec. It has been ratified several years ago, but still very actively maintained. There are very deep technical details about this spec, so it's not likely for to describe this in more details within just three slides. Interested people can find the 2013 the Calm paper, Design Calm, also by the main author Rich Merrills. The previous presenter also have a paper in 2016, Design Calm. Also, you will find the slide. So this is a very well-maintained, published spec. And I know that it's making its way into the memory world. Now, the Calm is the channel operating margin. There are two usage of Calm. One is for service designer to budget these TX and RX equalization settings. The other usage scenario is the channel designer. They can budget their crosstalk or the loss. So there are two aspects. Fundamentally, Calm is the figure of merit. The figure of merit is this SNR, signal and noise ratio. The signal part is using the, they call it SBR, single bit response. Basically, is the pulse response. The noise part has most of the noise component we consider. When you look at when you read the IBER spec section 10.2, we talk about different noise. There is a crosstalk in the impulse response AMI init. There is a jitter noise, etc. RX and TX noise. All these are included in the Calm. So as a model builder, if you want to study the methodology and you cannot find information in the IBER spec, Calm is a good resource. Here, there are two schematics. The first part at the top is the ISI inter-symbol interference, so that's the through channel, and it also includes a cross channel, that is the crosstalk. Both near and crosstalk and far and crosstalk are included. Now, when we talk about the model building, we assume we receive an impulse response. The chairperson might also just mention that in the IBER spec, you don't know how these impulse response are actually generated. If you do more study, you will find that there are many details, devil's details here. For example, typically you have a TX package model, RX package model, and interconnect model. This may be in the form of S parameter. First, you probably need to reorder based on your port ordering scheme. Then you need to convert to the differential mode, mixed mode. Then you need to cascade. Once you cascade, you need to recondition because not all the S parameters are causal passive. So it takes lots of steps before you can convert into the impulse response. We are in the IEEE P370 committee. The third subcommittee talk about the S parameter quality, and we spend many meetings just to discuss how you can recondition S parameter. Fortunately, this has been a layer in Calm's code, and I want to report that even in the P370 committee, we also reuse a lot of these components. So this type of process, you can reuse from COM as well. Now, we want to focus on the driver and receiver part. So there are two loops in the COM. In the inner loop, it's used to find the signal to noise ratio, the signal part. So it makes good use of the typical EQ blocks such as FFE, CTRE, and simple DFE. And I mentioned that the mechanism is a SBR, single bit response, which is a type of input response and combined with one UI. Now talking, we have mentioned about the interconnect part. Now back to the EQ portion. I mentioned the COM code is published online. It has mandated and updated. Here is the screenshot of the COM's code. It includes both FFE and CTRE and simple version of DFE. You can see the inner screen capture, it has a many loop. The searching mechanism of FFE and CTRE is exhausted. That's why you see so many loop. So in terms of CTRE, it uses a simple equation like here, and it only sweeps the DC gain part. In terms of FFE, when the COM just begin, it only supports one pre-tap and one post-tap. Recently, it has expanded to two pre-tap and two post-tap. So you can see there are a lot of loops. Within each loop, the sum parameter gets set. And then you have all the configuration, and then you call something like AMI init for FFE and CTLE portion. Based on that outcome, then you do convert with the UI and do DFE, etc. So in this side, you can see it's doing exhaustive search. So in the MATLAB code, this COM is published in the MATLAB code. There's only one function which does the CTLE frequency response generation and then convert with the channel input response. There's also only one function which takes this FFE parameter from the impulse response at different UI and then combine. So these are generic blocks. You will find this in the paper as well. So in our study, we found that we can remove or replace this function call using our AMI model. Then essentially, we can plug the AMI model. So there are two possible flows to plug the AMI model into a COM. I mentioned that the COM uses SBR, single bit response. It only starts with the impulse response, then combined with one UI. That means generically it supports LTI. So if your model is LTI, your replacement is more straightforward. So this is what we did. We observe that the COM's code has multiple loops, right? It iterates through all the DC gain and different tap weight. So there are many, many combinations. But to use AMI, we collapse all these loops into only one loop. This loop can have, say, an array of all the combinations you want to iterate. It can be exhaustive or not. Or it can be a while loop. Right, so this while loop has no preset configuration. If your EQ block is doing some kind of optimization, if the two iteration in the sequence find is stabilized, that means you have reached the optimized result, then you can break and exit the loop. So we replace these multiple loop into one loop. In the loop, we iterate through all the combination we want to use. And I mentioned that because there is only one function for CTLE in the COM, once you read the medical, you'll find it very easily, and there's only one function for the FFE, you simply replace that function code with your AMI model, and then process that impulse response in the AMI init. Remember here, we assume it's LTI. Then we can reuse the COM's code for the rest of the part. Basically, it will take the output input response and do generic DFE and then calculate the best signal ratio. That's called figure of merit. Now, if your model is nonlinear and time variance, then one single pulse response or impulse response is insufficient. In that case, you can take the outcome of the channel response, impulse response from the COM, and then you convert with your PRB as a bit stream. Then you will have a bit sequence, and then you can pass that bit sequence into your nonlinear equalization block. Now, because the DFE block in the COM only process the single bit response, so that means, and there is no CDR. So that means if you go this route, you probably either have to plug in your own DFE or CDR, or you will not use the DFE, and you need to come up with your own method to compute the figure of merit. So if your model is nonlinear and use the AMI gateway, there are more works. Now, talking about how we plug in, the COM is the MATLAB code. You can search online. MATLAB, of course, it supports the external library. So typically, you will call this MX setup. It will identify your IDE environment. On Windows, it will list of Visual Studio. That's most of IDE people use. And then you can say load the library. Here, you need to provide a header file. The header file is AMI, the API. So that those five functions, AMI, init, gateway, result needs defined so that MATLAB can load it. And then you can call the utility function to list the function and then call the library. Now here in the Piper, there is an AMI parser. But since we are developing the AMI model, it's not necessarily needed for us to create the AMI parser here. Because we know our model, we know the parameter we are going to assemble, so we can assemble the key and value pair as a string and pass that into the AMI model we are going to load. So you don't need to write a parser unless you want to make this a generalized tool for your company. Now, the COM is a methodology. In our case, we put it into the Java, so the mechanism of loading library is different. We know some other company loaded commit to C, that's more straightforward. But because the source code architecture of the code, of the COM, it makes this test quite relatively easy. So this is an example. In our example, we developed the FFE. This FFE will do some kind of self-optimization. This is just one of the algorithm. So we want to see, because we don't want to iterate all the combination of FFE. I mentioned that in the recent COM, it has two pre-tab, two post-tab, and you can specify the grid resolution. So if you have very fine grid, basically your iteration will become very big. And also the CTLE is only the GDC, the DC gain part. If you have a bunch of frequency response you want to iterate, definitely you need to modify. So the algorithm is quite simple. This is probably the simplest form of optimization. Basically, we have a channel response in the current, and we want to solve the weight. So these are the tap weight. We know we apply the single long pulse, so it's just a one at the right. And we know the ideal situation, which we will recover the bit, is just one at the timing here, and all the rest are zero. So this is where we want to solve, right? And we can use like a Schutter inverse to make this a square matrix, and then use the linear algebra to solve this the tap weight. So just one matrix computation, we can get the ideal weight. And if your channel response include the CTLE portion, and then the weight also take the CTLE into account. So this is what we implemented in our AMI model. So we run the simulation, so we can run our model inside the COM. Here, you can see there are about 13 group, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So each one is like a pulse. So basically, this is the 13 different DC GAN value. Inside each DC GAN, there are 24 switches for different tap weight. And we plug in our models. It runs as expected, and because we don't iterate all these different combination of FFE, we do iterate the GDC, so we can get our value, and it's almost at the top of all the others. So that gives us confidence that our AMI model, the model we are developing, actually work. This is a similar process by using different channel model. We also make use of the COM's test case. In the test case, you download from COM, it has a channel model as well. So you can take that as an example. So here, similarly, there you will find a certain different group, and within each group, so each group is like this, 1, 2, 3, 4, this is a different suite. And within each group, there are different 24 FFE tap sweep. And we run our test case. It's not the best solution, but we still find the a good candidate for our FFE weight. So we solve this FFE weight just in one shot using the channel response rather than going through all this iteration provided by COM's default. So the summary, because of COM's coding structure and methodology, it defined a generic EQ block. By replacing this function call in the COM flow, we can plug in the AMI model being used or being developed into the COM analysis. The reason why we choose COM is well documented and it's ratified, and more importantly, it's an open source platform, has full-blown link analysis capability and many other features which we don't need to bother as a model developer. What we did is we replaced the multi-level CTLE and FFE loop so that it will not be exhausted. You can still be exhausted, but because we are calling our own AMI, init AMI gateway function, you may assemble the parameter differently. COM itself has a DFE, you can reuse it. It does not have CDR. The DFE process the single bit response just to get the best signal ratio, signal value, and from that you get the FOM, figure of merit. When you iterate all the combination, the default COM, the best figure of merit, the settings which produce the best of figure of merit is used to compute those noise terms. So you can plug in your DFE, or you can borrow this kind of optimization algorithm into your implementation, into your AMI model. So some consideration here, because COM uses SBR, single bit response. So to support the LTI model is more straightforward. If you want to support the nonlinear model, such as the back channel, because the back channel is only do the optimization in the gateway function. So you need to do this non-LTI way. In that case, you need to take the impulse response of the COM's channel and combine with the PRBS to get the bit sequence first. And even though we use our own AMI model, doesn't mean we need to create or develop the AMI parser. We know our model. We know this model is being used. It's easy for human to form the key and value pair first and pass it as an argument into the function you want to call rather than develop the AMI parser, tree parser from scratch. Using this, you can facilitate the existing open source platform for advanced modeling development such as a back channel or to learn the link analysis methodology. And it will be beneficial for model development and can shorten your design cycle. I have this the reference at the end. So that's all I have. Any questions?
Just a quick question, I guess, and maybe this is my confusion, but I'd always got the impression that COM was intended more for channel compliance checking generically, whereas AMI was intended for examination of specific devices. So COM would tell you whether your channel meets the spec, and then you use AMI to try and beat the spec. So I'm not sure, why would you want to combine them unless, and I'm sure all the tool vendors are going to start throwing things when I say this, unless you want to get a free SI simulation tool.
Right, that's also one of purpose, right? Because when I develop the model, I don't know how the tool works. I don't know the vendor's age, the optimization methodology, how does it work, and why when we bring to the different tool, it works differently. So we want to know more details inside the linked analysis tool. Now, back to your original question, if you find Rich Metal, who is the original author of the COM, 2016, it has a tutorial. I think in the third page or the fourth page, it is two COM uses scenario. The first one is for IC designer or service designer. Say if I have a reference channel, then I can budget my TX and RX. So that's the usage scenario here. The second usage scenario is like what you said. If I am a system designer, I already have, I don't care about the TX or RX, then I want to budget my crosstalk in terms of package length or the trace out. In that case, that's less relevant to our presentation here.
So essentially your solution space will be determined by the figure of merit and the comp value, and no longer the eye height and eye width at a given bit of rate, which the EDA tool is responsible for, right?
So eye height and eye width is one measurement, right? Some EDA tool give you BERT, BERT result, and the comp itself produce a PDF plot and the BERT as well. So you can reuse comp portion as the figure of merit, either for your AMI model optimization, or you can plug in yourself.
Just a comment for Michael. I, by the way, was one of the involved in the development of Combat with Rich Village. And the intent was to eliminate simulation, because to them, I actually gave a paper about IBIS in the early days of 802.3.4, BJ. And I got not by the crowd, the manager said, no. The whole purpose is not to do simulation. And COM basically represents the best an AMI model can do. So you basically take the pulse response, do something special around the center, around the main cursor, then just zero it out. So if you say I have a 14 tap DFB, it just zeroes it out. And so, and you can't do better in an AMI model in silicon than zeroing it out. Of course, it only, the thing about COM is it only tells you what the eye height is at the center of the eye. It has no, it does not do a very good job of predicting eye width. They do have some jitter kludge corrections for it. Now you can use AMI models rather than doing the COM calculation. You can just say, I have a 15 tap DFB and do your thing, measure everything at the center of the eye, and then you should get the same result as COM things, depending on the granularity of your DFB taps and all the other kinds of things. Now the FF. They do something special around the main cursor tap because we all know the DFB can only work after, at best, after the first post-cursor tap. And you have to do something for the precursor stuff. And that they do a separate thing. It's a wonderful exercise so that you don't have to ever do simulation.
Thank you, Wei Sing.
Thanks for your attention.